Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on Wednesday, July 13th. The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com. My name is Jackie Balestra, and I'm sitting in as host this week for Joe Terry. I appreciate you all tuning in. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and I can't think of a better place to do just that. You can learn more about the show on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit us on our website at www.thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining me this morning is a very special guest co-host, local networking queen, Joanne Gallen. Now, Joanne has been in the insurance business since 1984, and joined the State Farm family in 1989. She has worked for longtime established agents as well as State Farm corporate. She's incredibly happy to recently have been reunited with her prior agent, Fenton Sanger. Joanne also does business development for Zippy Shell, which is a storage and moving company, in addition to founding Mixagogo.com, a website devoted to networking events. Joanne, thank you so much for helping me out this morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jackie. Great to be here. I'm doing great.
I'm so glad you're doing this for me. Joe left me an alert. She's off this week doing something busy. He's busy, 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 as we all know. And I'm hosting this whole week, and I need special people to help me out. So anyway, how was your weekend?
It was great. It was great. I did a couple networking events. It was fantastic. Friday night. Leadership Redondo, the class of 2016, had a mixer at the Hermosa Fish Shop, so that was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of the new members or the class of 2016, as well as some alumni.
What class were you? You were leadership.
2013.
You were 2013. Yes, I have been to the fish shop. It's fabulous. As a matter of fact, I saw Vera at Bite at the Beach Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was another great event. That was Saturday at the MB Studios. Lots of food pairings with craft beer and wine, live music, a lot of fun.
You were there, networking queen that you are.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the networking queen, Thursday's Beach Reporter, there was a very nice article about Mixagogo.com.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. Yeah, it was really special. I was very pleased to be part of that. Thank you. I'm glad
you
saw it.
Tell us a little bit about Mixagogo, what you're doing with that.
Well, Mixagogo is a networking website that we created a couple years ago. And really, it's one-stop shopping for people that are looking for for networking and community events in the South Bay. And it's interactive. So if you're putting on a community or networking event, you could actually go on the website directly and add your event. And it'll go out on Monday's e-blast that goes out to over 1,500 people. And or anybody that looks at the website, they'll be able to see your event. There's no cost to do that. And it's a great way of connecting people. One of my favorite things to do is just connect people, introduce people to people that could help them and become friends and business partners. So it's a lot of fun.
I don't think there's anybody in the South Bay that you haven't connected somebody with. It's like, it's not 6 degrees of Joanne Gallen. It's like 2 degrees of Joanne Gallen, right?
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun. I love this community. I can't believe I've only lived here 6 years. I love this community. There's so many wonderful people. I love the beach cities, from El Segundo to PV, Manhattan, Hermosa, and, of course, my heart's in Redondo where I live. It's fantastic. There are so many wonderful people like yourself, and it's a thrill and a privilege to be part of such a great community.
You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir, Joanne. That's why we're all here. Anyway.
I didn't know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just
going to
say that until 5 years ago, I didn't know what a Chamber of Commerce was. I heard the term, but I had no idea how wonderful they were and how they really helped the small businesses and help people connect. And that's really where – that's really how I began this, how I began Mixagogo, being part of the South Bay Chamber of Commerce's.
Yeah, they're vital. They're vital to the economic vitality of any town, and we've got some great chambers here in the South Bay.
You can't
have a great community without great business, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So anyway, we've had you on the program in the past as a guest to discuss certain types of insurance, Joanne, and one in particular plays an important role in part of the discussion we'll be having today. So I'm really glad that you're sitting in so we can pick your brain as well. Joanne, who are our guests this morning?
Well, today we have a couple of returning guests, Chanel Garcia from First Light Home Care of South Bay and Lori Glover from Silverado Beach Cities. Chanel is currently the business development manager for First Light Home Care of South Bay. With 10 years of experience in healthcare and comprehensive background in non-medical in-home care, Chanel is committed to helping adults of all ages stay safe and comfortable in and out of their home. As a marketer, networker, and care advocate for First Light, she is demonstrating this commitment by actively engaging the community with educational outreach. As a member of the Chamber's Health and Wellness Committee, she's offering education on what it means to live holistically. She is also looking forward to continuing her nursing education and earning a bachelor's degree in nursing. Wow, that's fantastic. Lori Glover joins Silverado Beach City's team with years of experience working with older adults and families who are dealing with a life-changing diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. She began her career in the aging field by providing care to both her grandparents as they faced terminal illnesses. After this experience, she began providing care to community members and attended college to become a nurse. Realizing her strengths lay in education and community outreach, Lori transitioned into the business development and has since been a speaker for the Los Angeles chapter of Alzheimer's Association, a member of the Keepsake Coalition, and a volunteer for hospice. Her passion and expertise in dementia and aging is apparent in all of her endeavors. Most recently, Lori has headed the Health and Wellness Committee of the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce, where she sits on the board of directors. A lifelong resident of the South Bay, Lori enjoys spending time with her two daughters, outdoor activities including hiking, gardening, wine tasting, and riding bikes at the beach. This morning, we'll learn everything we need to know about the various senior services available right here in the South Bay. Chanel, Lori, welcome back to the program. We're so glad you're joining us.
Thank you, Joanne.
Hi, thank you.
Chanel, Lori, again, thank you again for joining us. We've had you on the show before, a couple of local experts in senior care here in the South Bay. So just to start off the show, a little background. For those that have not heard of the senior tsunami or the silver tsunami, there's a couple of different terms for it. Basically what that is it's the baby boomer generation is aging. It's called the baby boomer generation because there were a lot of them. There were a lot of them born between 1946 and 1964. So basically what happened is in 2011, every day for the next 20 years, 10,000 plus people will be turning 65. Every day for the next 20 years. This started in 2011. All right, that's a huge number. And because of that, senior care is a growth business at this point. It's a generational thing. So, Lori, do you want to tell us your experience with what's been happening since 2011? Do you see it?
Oh, definitely. We see it every day. I mean, it is a tsunami. Dementia, in particular, is a tsunami that's hitting us right now. But we've seen the senior services industry grow like crazy. I would say, actually, in the last 3 years, the need for home care. You know, Los Angeles, for instance, has over 350 home care agencies, and those are just the ones that we know about. So there's a lot going on here in this area. There's a lot of different pieces to this as well.
Absolutely. And Chanel, Lori just said in the last 3 years, she's really noticed a change. I find it interesting. Did this just sneak up on people? Did nobody realize that this whole generation was going to be aging over the next 20 years? Chanel, in your experience, what are you seeing?
Well, I'm definitely seeing in not only home care, but the need for senior placement services. You know, as these people get older and, you know, they're retiring, the need comes up for both those services even more, just exponentially, like you're saying. I mean, there's so many people every day that not only need the services, but need the education for everything that's available, too.
Yeah, and Lori, that's, again, I find it interesting that you said you've really noticed the uptick in the last 3 years. So if this started in 2011, it took people a year or two to get on board with it and get the train moving, right?
Well, definitely. And the thing is, people largely I won't say so much in denial, but sort of in denial of the cost. I mean, the cost, for one thing, has shocked people. You know, the average cost to take care of someone is $6,400. That's across the nation.
And that's a month, right?
That's per month. So, you know, that's like, what, $87,000 a year. And people, you know, have thought, well, you know, long term, we'll just sell mom's house and that'll pay for everything. Well, okay, so $1 million house at roughly $87,000 a year, that's not going to last very long. So I think that has been the biggest shock for families, is they know that at some point they're going to have to take care of their loved ones, but they really underestimate how much it's going to cost and how you need to plan for that.
Okay, two questions on that. One, the first one, generally in any market, when you have more demand for something, more people looking for a service or product, the price generally comes down. You know, we see it with everything. You know, with flat screen TVs, you know, when they first came out, they were like, you know, $8,000 a piece. Now you can pick one up for $300. Is this not going to work like that?
No. It's not going to work like that, and I'll tell you why. At least in this state, you know, I'm going to speak for California. So in this state, there's obviously such a large population of people here that it's actually more competitive. Now, that you would think that would drive the prices down, but it really isn't, because the wages are also higher here. So it costs money to pay nurses. You know, it costs money to pay social workers, all these different people that are involved in care. It's just more expensive in California. It used to be, and Chanel can probably talk to this, it used to be that home care was a little more competitive that way with price. However, now as of the first of this year, there were a lot of changes in the home care market, which has now driven the prices up for that.
Chanel, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and thank you, Lori. Yeah, you're exactly right. basically, as of the beginning of the year, the state is now regulating in-home services with the Department of Social Services, and there's not only a certain cost for a home care agency to register with the state and to get their employees registered with the state, but there's also cost of basically workers' comp insurance, liability coverage, background checks, and drug testing to make sure that the people who are going into our seniors' homes are there and that can be trusted and all that. So it has raised the cost for the agencies a little bit. I know at least by a couple of dollars, depending on the agency, for them to cover those costs.
And you said that a lot of this just went into place this year, the beginning of this year?
Correct. As of January 1, that if they're going to be participating, their application had to be in. And as of July, all of the employees that are going to be providing care for their clients have to be registered with the state.
So basically the state is playing catch up too. They didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, in the nation, you know, California was actually behind the curve on that. There's other states that have always, you know, even further back required licensure for home care services. But so we kind of knew it was coming from our side of things. But.
Okay, so since we're talking about how horrifically expensive it is to take care of seniors, whether in or out of the home, Joanne, that's where I wanted to ask you about this, because I remember when we had you on a while back to talk about insurance. You talked
Term
about what's it called?
Long-term care insurance.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Long-term care insurance is something that you get. You can start almost at any age, and I believe you could get it up until your 70s. You know, we no longer write it, so I'm not up to date as I should be. But long-term care will help pay for a facility for your parents to live in, or actually home care if they need assistance. And the younger you are when you get it, the better, because you could get locked into a rate for a good deal of time. And then going to facilities or having help it's not going to be that $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 a month if you have the long-term care that will offset that. That Lori could probably tell based on the cost to actually live in a place like Silverado, which is actually a beautiful community. I've been there. Long-term care really helps offset it a lot. So instead of paying the $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000, you might only be paying $1,000 out of your pocket, or if that.
Yeah, I want to elaborate just a little bit on that also. Thank you, Joanne. That's all true. It's actually 83 and a half. You can purchase the insurance up to age 83 and a half. However, what happens with long-term care insurance is it is an insurance that you have to pay for, that you have to apply for when you are healthy, because they will turn you down for the littlest things. It's surprising to people. So that's another reason why I always recommend, like, in the 40s, age early 40s, to apply for it, because usually people don't have, you know, a lot of illnesses by 40. But if you're buying it at 30, a lot of times people aren't really ready. They're buying homes and things like that, so it's a little difficult for them. So I think 40 is like the perfect age to buy it, though I know my parents bought theirs in their 60s, and so, you know, theirs covers quite a bit. And we find that residents here, for instance, at Silverado, our rate is $255 a day. And we have residents here that their long-term care insurance policies pay up to $210 a day. So that's almost their whole stay.
That's fantastic.
Wow. That's great. You know,
it's really a significant difference.
Go ahead, Joe.
From what I know, there's not a lot of companies selling it anymore in the state of California. And like I said, we stopped selling it several years ago. So I'm not up to everything that I should, you know, that I used to know about it, but I actually learned a lot about long-term care. I actually wrote it for myself probably when I was probably before 40. I think I was still 39. So I got locked into something that I still have. I've been paying for, but a very, very small amount.
Yeah, you know, after we had you on the show last time talking about this, I spoke to my husband about it because we don't have it. And he spoke to our insurance agent, and he said at our ages, the prices are exorbitant.
Now, you know what? At our it really doesn't – you don't really see the big, big increase until you're in the 60s, and I know you're not there yet. 60s, 70s, and obviously 80s.
Yeah.
But it's something, like Lori said, it pays, what, you said $210 out of $255 a day? I mean, that's pretty amazing.
That's dependent on the type of care, though. So they pay more for a clinical level of care. Mm. So in other words, if you were to go to what's called a skilled nursing home, then, you know, they have all the clinical care there. So it's going to pay, you know, like I said, probably around $210 a day. Which is why Silverado qualifies for that higher payout also. But if you're in a traditional assisted living and or home care situation, it actually pays a little less.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's one more important thing.
Yes,
if I could
ahead.
Add to it. One thing that people often forget about long-term care insurance is, well, you do need to activate the policy by needing assistance with at least two of the six activities of daily living. But most
Correct.
Policies have a waiting period once you activate the policy to start receiving the benefits. And that could be anywhere from 30 days to up to 90 days, depending on how you structured your policy and what you picked at the beginning. That often mm-hmm. comes up to where, you know, I know the clients that we've had who have long-term care insurance, they didn't recall that. So they kind of ended up in that sticky situation where how were they going to pay for things until that money started coming in?
Oh. Wow. So
yeah.
A situation where, okay, it's time to put mom in a home where people can take care of her properly. And let's say they even have a place picked out already. And they and not only that, I imagine there must be waiting lists, right?
There are, particularly I'm going to say for again dementia. There aren't a whole lot of places that specialize in dementia, so there generally are waiting lists. There can be accommodations made for situations like that as well. People sometimes opt to hire a at-home caregiver in the meantime, or sometimes they may hold in another sister community somewhere outside of their city where they currently live until there's an opening. So there's a lot of different situations that can, you know, help take care of people.
So what this sounds like is that everybody needs to be up on top of what it is. You could get stuck waiting for the facility you want or the help you need. On top of that, you could get stuck waiting for the cash to come through.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Well,
so families are having to take a big step in helping, at least initially, is what we're seeing. You know, a lot of times families have to step in and just really help at least get it going, if not even help chip in for the monthly services. And by the way, just so that people know, there is a tax deduction for families that help take care of their loved one. So in any situation, say family members are each, you know, chipping in the $1,000 a month to pay for mom's care, that is tax deductible. And that's something that they have to talk to a professional about.
Well, that's good to know. I wouldn't have thought of that. I certainly wouldn't have thought of that. Well, you know, speaking of the family and chipping in and helping out, it's a different world now. In generations gone by, you would have families living, you know, several generations of families living under one roof. When the parents of young children are working, the grandparents would take care of their grandchildren during the day. And then as, you know, the grandparents grew older, you'd have other family members in-house to take care of them, and it was a shared responsibility. Doesn't happen that way anymore, at least not as often as it used to. Do any of you see, Chanel, let's start with you. Do any of you see that because of the ridiculous pricing it is to take care of, you know, for elder care. Chanel, do you see families returning to that sort of situation where they're bringing, you know, mom and dad back home and being part of the day-to-day situation?
I definitely do. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, especially considering that in home care services, they are on the more high end of the budget. We mm-hmm. often have clients where we're just providing respite care, you know, where the family does pitch in as much as they can, and we only come in and provide a caregiver when, you know, maybe the family is going on vacation, or if, for example, you know, they have to go to work for the day, we'll take care of mom or dad or whoever it is until they get home from work, and, you know, they'll be the one to help out at night when they're home.
Yeah,
if they're
wow,
going
there's
an assisted living or boarding care, then that's not as big of a situation because they have all the other support there at the facility. But if they're staying in home, definitely.
Yeah. I never even thought of that. I never even thought of that aspect of it. Hey, everybody, we're going to take a short station and commercial break. I'm Jackie Balestra, and you're listening to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, with guests Chanel Garcia and Lori Glover, and guest host Joanne Gallen. Today we're discussing some of the services available to seniors right here in the South Bay. If you'd like to join the conversation with a question or comment, you can call us at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And at this time, we'd like to thank a sponsor. This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday. Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Chanel Garcia from First Light Home Care of South Bay, and Lori Glover from Silverado's Beach Cities, two fabulous facilities right here in the South Bay. Let's get into Lori. How do you start the conversation with an aging relative about, you know, what their needs are going to be? Because I think, never mind the money aspect, trying to have that conversation, I think, has got to be the hardest part of it.
Definitely, this is the hardest part on both ends. I've spoken to many times to family members, like adult children, who say, you know, I just don't know how to bring this up. You know, my mom tells me that, you know, she wants to stay in her home. That's the hardest part because, you know, everyone wants to stay in their home given their choice, right? So that's a very common situation, and particularly adult daughters it seems to be the hardest with, where they say, you know, how do I begin that conversation? And then the senior adult, the way they ask the question is, you know, I don't want to burden my children, so I don't really want to have this conversation. And so I try to bring them both together. I actually do a lot of this. And I just try to tell them, you know, based on whatever position they're taking, that it's vital. You need to have this conversation. I tell the adult senior that, you know, if you don't have this conversation with your children, what is your care going to look like? Your children may be forced to make a decision in the hospital in an emergency that you're not going to wish that they would have made. So isn't it better to put your thoughts and ideas out there so that they know what you want? And then trust them to make the right decisions based on that. And so, you know, that's what I tell them. And then as far as the adult children, I usually tell them that, you know, it's, you know, you need to have that conversation because you, same thing, you don't want to be in the hospital with your parent and the case managers are giving you 3 days to make a decision now on what to do for their care. And you're saying, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know what's out there. I don't know who to trust. You know, all those kinds of things come into play. So it's a very, very big conversation. We have it daily in this office here. Between the three of us, there's three of us in this department, and I can't tell you, multiple times a day we have this conversation.
You know, I think you guys heard my personal story about my mother, who is she's turning 91 next week. She lives in New York City. A couple of years ago, something happened. She woke up one morning and went to get out of bed, and she couldn't stand up. She lost all strength in her legs. Now, I have a sister that lives now in New Jersey. She used to be in the city until a couple of years ago. And my mother called my sister, and she told her what's going on. And my sister said, okay, I'll be there as soon as I can. So my sister Barbara drove in from Jersey, got to my mom's house. And she said, all right, look it. She said, what do you want to do? She said, now, my mom lives in Midtown Manhattan, literally New York University Hospital is right down the street from her. Bellevue is just a few blocks away. She's got a lot of great hospitals right around her. And Barbara said to her, do you want to go down to NYU or would you prefer to come to the hospital in Jersey where I live? She said, that way you'll be closer to me. She said, because my sister works and she going back and forth to the city an hour and a half is a big deal. So my mother said, okay, take me out to Jersey. So they took her to the hospital in Jersey. They ran every test on the planet, and they couldn't find anything wrong with her. They couldn't find evidence of a stroke or anything. So she still had these physical issues. She lost her strength. So they said, you're going to need rehabilitation. So fortunately, there was one literally just down the road from my sister's house in Jersey, and they got her in. And she was there for 2.5-3 months. And it was great because it was right there. My sister, her grown kids, grandkids, everybody was there. You know, somebody was there every day. And as she got her strength back, Barbara would go pick her up, bring her to their home for dinner, bring her to my nephew's home for dinner. You know, she had everything she needed right there. It was very, very convenient. Flash forward several months, we had a family Thanksgiving together. We were all in the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And my sisters and I sat down and said, we need to talk to Mom about this. You know, it's critical mass now. She can't be living by herself. So we need to talk to her about it. And in the past we have tried approaching we tried approaching her. But she said, don't worry about me, I'll take care of myself. So we planned it really well. After dinner one night, we got all the guys and kids out of the house, and we were sitting around having a glass of wine, and I brought it up, and my mother said, I do not want to talk about this. If you continue to talk about it, I'm walking out of the room. And then one of my sisters chimed in, and my mom got up and walked out of the room. So basically, we've all come to the conclusion that she is staying in her home. And by the way, we weren't looking to put her into a facility. She has an open invitation to live with any one of us. She can live in Florida. She can live in California. She can live in New Jersey. We all have said, come and live with us, come and live with us. And she does not want to leave her home. And so to this day, I was back in New York recently, And one of my sisters brought it up, and I said, Christine, I said, Mom is going to die in that house, and there's nothing we can do about it. So where do you go from there?
Well, and that's a common, what you just talked about, that's so common, I can't even tell you. So it is a problem. And, you know, here's what you need to realize is that in your mom's case, you know, that's probably the way that it needs to go down. I mean, God forbid she falls in her house and ends up in the hospital, and then you will be forced to make a decision, you know, whether to have 24-hour home care or whether to place her someplace. And, you know, the hospital will tell you at that point, when safety becomes an issue, hands down, you have to make a choice. So that will be, as long as she's okay getting around her house, then it is okay if that's what she wants to do. However,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
That's okay. I just want to say one more thing. So also, just to give you an idea, I just had a young girl come in and talk to me on Friday. Her mother is 57 years old. She was diagnosed with memory impairment 3 years ago. This young girl is in her 20s and is just at a loss. She has no idea what to do. This is now becoming a common scenario. Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. So people need to wake up and realize that overall, that what you're saying about your mom is great, but there are so many people that don't make it to that point and have all their cognitive, you know, abilities to make those decisions. This is why we need to start the conversation literally when our parents, I hate to say it, but, you know, I'm really speaking to younger generations, when they're in their 40s and 50s, because you don't know, you know, if early 60s, 50s, you're going to come down with a dementia, and then you are not able to make your own decisions correctly. Yeah, you're going to say yes to anything that sounds fine.
Yeah.
So it's becoming a younger, more prevalent problem. You know, your mom actually, believe it or not, you're in a luckier group. Believe it or not, as frustrating as it is, because, you know, most parents are going to say just what your mom says.
Yeah, well, she's 91. She's got all her mental, you know, facilities. She has arthritis. Her arthritis is her biggest complaint. And by the way, she doesn't complain. You know, you know, she gets around. Yeah.
She's totally fine. She's one of the lucky ones.
We worry. We worry. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you do.
We worry. Chanel, are you experiencing the same thing?
I am. I mean, even with my own parents, I can echo what Lori said. You know, it's so important just to start even pieces of the conversation early on, just so that you are empowered with the knowledge for when it does come time to make a decision. And when it's a little bit later down the road and you are put in that situation where you have to make a decision in an emergency and you're still met with the resistance from the parent as the adult child, all you can do is just come from a place of caring and, you know, Mom or Dad, I love you and I'm here for you and we're going to make this decision the best that we can together. But again, the most important thing is keeping you safe so that you can be happy and healthy for as long as possible.
Yeah. You know, as we get older, I'm hearing more and more of these stories. We had another family member who his parents owned a beautiful beach house in New York. And for years, the father kept telling the son, we're going to leave you this house. As the parents got older, you know, they had some conversations. And the father said, yeah, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Boom, 10 years down the road. First, the father got dementia and had to go into facility, which drained whatever savings they had. And maybe a year later, the mother, same situation, only this time, the state came in, sold the house, and within, I think, a couple of years, whatever the, you know, money that was applied towards her home care. The son never got the house, you know, and I'm hearing more and more stories like that. And that was just pure stubbornness on that particular person's part. But I know you're all hearing the same stories, right?
That's a very common one.
What about support groups? Are there support groups for family members that are going through similar situations?
There are support
groups. There's tons of support groups.
Yeah. There are support groups at a lot of the churches. I know here in Redondo Beach, Beach City's Health District offers tons of different support groups. Here at Silverado, we offer several different support groups. All of the support groups in the local community are free. I definitely suggest that for anybody even remotely close to something like any of these situations we're talking about, because it really does help to talk to people who have either lived through the scenario or are going through it with you right now, you know?
And can I ask something? It takes... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Juju.
I was going to say that I thought David Hadley, the assemblyman, had a senior advisory committee. Do you know anything about that, Lori?
He does. You know, David Hadley, I can't say enough about him, just because, I mean, really, as far as senior care goes, he is our best hope in Sacramento as far as, you know, helping the seniors. He's really, you know, he's got a personal interest in it, I know. He was telling us, I'm on his senior care advisory committee, and he tells us that he gets approximately 5,000 bills a month come across his desk just related to senior health care. So that's how big this topic is, just to let you know.
5,000 – wait, when you say 5,000 bills a month – is that like legislature?
Yes, to review, yes.
5,000 a month?
Yes.
Wow.
I know, right? But he's the first one that I know of that's done something like this and had people sort of, you know, advising him that are really involved in the senior care industry, you know, helping him with some of this, you know, advising him on the pros and the cons to the different things.
Wow, you know, I knew this was a big issue. I just didn't know it was that big.
It's huge.
Okay, so let's get down to it. I want to know what types of services both of your organizations offer. Chanel, let's start with you. What does First Light Home Care of South Bay offer community clients?
Sure. Well, thank you for asking. Primarily, we do offer caregiving services to adults of all ages in or out of the home, as well as complementary placement, and we have some ancillary provider partners for things like emergency response with Philips Lifeline or medical equipment with One Key Health. And we also have something called the Family Learning Center that complements our support groups for anybody who needs the resources ahead of time if they are a family caregiver to help keep their loved ones safe.
And Lori?
Yeah, so
what does Silverado's Beach Cities offer?
Okay, well, first of all of our rooms have ocean views or city lights views, so I can't say enough about our site here.
How often does that come up when people are trying to relook it?
You know, actually, it doesn't come up until they're walking through the building, and they go, oh, my gosh, I want to live here. we offer three types of services. So we are a 120-bed community here in Redondo Beach. We are all memory care, so we are a secure building. We're kind of a hybrid between an assisted living and a skilled nursing because we do offer a clinical model of care. So, you know, people who live with us, you know, they get a full, I mean, we have nurses 24/7 here on each floor. So, you know, each nurse is responsible for about 30 residents. And that is, you know, three shifts, 24 hours. We have licensed social workers here, master level social workers on site. We offer daycare services. So if someone takes care of someone at home, they can bring them in for the day. And it's a 12-hour program, so it's wonderful. And the family member can come back and have dinner with them before they take them home. We also offer short-term respite stays, so if someone's going on vacation, they can drop them off here for a day or a week or 2 weeks at a time. We are an intergenerational community, so we have people bring their pets here to live. Their children, grandchildren eat here. Everyone eats for free. There's no visiting hours. It's a home-like community. So we want everybody to feel at home. As far as our clinical outcomes, we really help and work closely with the local hospitals on, with our clinical outcomes on readmissions. Because right now a big thing going on with hospitals is that they are getting dinged and have to pay when they have readmissions within 30 days. So we're helping them with that because we do have the nurses here, and so they're seeing a lot less readmission rates with our with their patients, our residents. So there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of stuff, and I would imagine that both First Light Home Care of South Bay and Silverado Beach Cities, I imagine that you could even point people in the right direction for services that you don't offer, like legal or financial advice, that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. We work really closely with the different professionals for that because, people – generally when people come into a place like Silverado Beach Cities, I'll be honest with you, it's not like, well, we're just shopping around. It's like we're in a crisis, crisis, very crisis-driven. And that's, again, because of like what you were saying with your mom, people want to stay home. And, they want to be left alone. And so, by the time they get to someone like Chanel or myself, they're in a crisis. There's something going on. So they need financial advice or legal advice, things like that.
Wow. Yeah,
right.
No, you're right. Crisis is the right word.
Yeah. And families are often divided. That's another thing, and that's a whole other subject.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't even think of that. Wow. And Chanel,
I was going to say, I personally have been to Silverado several times or more than several times. And it really is a lovely community. And watching how the caregivers and social workers interact with the patients, or do I want to call them patients or what?
We call them residents. We're all about.
That's right. Residents.
Yeah.
it's really a beautiful thing to watch. It is a really nice facility. The food actually is delicious. I've been lucky enough to eat there on many occasions, and it's wonderful to see the pets running around. Wonderful dog. They have small dogs there, and to see how the residents interact with the pets. It really is. Considering you're in a tough situation, that's probably one of the best facilities you could be in, is Silverado.
Thank you, Joanne. It is a culture. I call it a culture, because it's not – we're about giving life back to people where, they've been sort of pushed aside in society. We want them to have a quality of life.
Joanne, you know where you're going to end up, right, huh?
I know where I'm going to – do have long-term care people kid around and say, oh, we're moving in with you.
Yeah, no,
I hope it's not for a long time, though. Hopefully, we'll –
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
yeah.
The number one question that people ask is that people generally, when they are first starting out looking for any kind of services for mom or dad or spouse, is does Medicare pay? People just assume Medicare pays for things. So that's the number one first question people ask, and they're shocked when you tell them that Medicare does not pay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to change?
And for in-home care,
I don't think so.
Yes, Chanel?
Yeah, Lori is exactly right. And for in-home care, Medicare doesn't cover our services as well, but there are other things that do cover it, like we were talking about long-term care insurance and a couple of other ones that aren't so common people might not know about is even if it's a workers' comp situation, workers' comp insurance covers home care services as well as if they're a veteran and they're eligible for aid and attendance, that covers care services too.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know about that. That's good to know.
Veterans benefits also. Veterans benefits are paid for directly to the veteran or the veteran's family. Mm-hmm. So that helps families as well.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. So there are some options out there, but it all comes down to the start of it, from what I'm hearing, is people need to think about this. They need to think about it now They need to have those conversations now. Everybody's got to get their ducks in a row, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can start with Joanne. She can – oh, no, Joanne, you're not doing the long-term care thing anymore. So, but you can call her and ask her, and she'll point you in the right direction, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, we're gonna start wrapping this up. Chanel, give us some contact information for First Light Home Care of South Bay, website, phone numbers, email address. Give us contact information for anybody that's listening to the show and is on the edge of their seat saying, "Oh my gosh, I have to take care of this right now." And then they're picking up their phone. How do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, you can call our main office line at 424-704-5330 anytime, 24/7. We're available to take your call, and we have our website, which is southbay.firstlighthomecare.com. And on our website, there's a couple of ways that you can stay connected and start the conversation when you're ready. On the top left of our website, we have all of our social media badges, including our blog, to receive valuable information weekly and monthly, as well as at the very bottom of the website, we have Just Gas First Light. If you have a general question about any of our services, or again, if you want to be directed to some other resources that you might need ahead of time, you can put an inquiry in there too, and we'll be sure to get to you.
All right. Okay. And Lori, tell us about how people can get in contact with Silverado's Beach Cities.
Yes, so they can contact me either directly through our office number, which is 310-896-3100. They can contact me via my cell phone, which is 310-880-2773. You know, we are on call 24/7, so someone will answer. They can also email me at lglover@silveradocare.com. Our website is www.silveradocare.com. And we've got not only stuff about our services on our website, but we also have upcoming lectures. We have educational free lectures once a month, and those events are always on our website as well. One other number I'd like to share is we also have a 866 number, which is 866-522-8125, which is actually a chat line. It's a 24/7 chat line where you get a live person trained in dementia behaviors that can walk you through any type of situation. So say 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you know, mom decides she wants to wander the neighborhood and you're trying to get her back and she can't, and, you know, so forth. You can get somebody that is live that can talk you and walk you right through how to deal with the situation. So it's a fabulous free chat line. I call it the 911 of dementia.
Wow. That's good to know. It sounds like there's no shortage of information out there.
No.
People just have to they need to familiarize themselves with this stuff.
Yes.
Just to have it, look
That's
at it,
exactly
have it,
it.
Have it in the back of your mind. It's never too early to start making a plan. It's never too early to start having that conversation. For both of you, Lori and Chanel, are your companies, are they national or are they strictly local?
Chanel?
First Light Home Care is national, yeah. They are nationwide for a few years now with over 150 offices. And in this area, too, we have a couple of L.A. offices and a couple of Orange County offices in addition to ours. So.
Oh, all right. And Lori?
We are. We're actually growing like crazy. We have We have 32 Silverados across the country right now. We're heading east. We're opening two new communities in Washington State this year, and one in Bellingham and one in Issaquah. And, you know, I've heard rumors about some places in New York possibly down the road and, you know, some places east. So we'll see.
Well, you know, this is excuse me, an internet program, so people can listen to this show all around the world. So who knows? You may be getting a call from somebody in Maine that's listening that wants to know about your services, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yes.
Wow.
So
wow.
We appreciate it, and we definitely were all about, I know Chanel is the same way, in that we just want to be a resource and help families. You know, that's part of why I got into this business, was because there were a lot of information that after my grandparents passed away, my mom and I had wished that we had known a lot of things that we learned later. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to go out and be an advocate for families and help them navigate the systems.
Wow! Wow! That's impressive. As you said, you're dealing with crisis stuff every day. It's amazing you don't have PTSD.
It does take a lot to wind down in the evening sometimes.
I bet it does. Yeah. I bet it does. Well, ladies, thank you so much. It's been such an informative conversation. You gave out a lot of great information. And as one of you mentioned, there's even more to this. We didn't even get into what happens when different family members disagree on how to take care of mom or dad.
That's got a
whole other ball of wax, huh?
It is, and it's
that's a whole other show.
It's very common, because it's so common that it's definitely a show.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much, Chanel Garcia, from First Light Home Care of South Bay. Chanel, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Lori Glover from Silverado Beach Cities, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, ladies.
And JoJo Gallen, you're going to be sitting in again. You're going
to
be sitting in again with me on Friday, right?
Fantastic. Look forward to it, Jackie.
Yeah, and just tell me real quickly, what are you doing this weekend, girl about town?
Oh my gosh, this weekend! You know what? You're coming.
I think I'm gonna see you Thursday night, aren't I?
Oh gosh, there are a couple of events coming up on Thursday. If I could talk about them real quickly, Thursday, Redondo Chamber, we're having our network cafe luncheon at Rock and Brews on PCH. That's a great place, and I'm sure we'll have at least 50 members, so if you're free, please come. Just RSVP on the Chamber website. And then following that, Thursday afternoon, there, I believe at 5:30, Chevron Mixer in the Park. Chevron opens up their park in El Segundo, and I think it's $10. Don't quote me on that, $10. There'll be food and drinks and just a lot of networking and a silent auction and a raffle. And then later on that evening, 6 o'clock, there's a special private South Bay Magazine party, so I'm looking forward to that. That's on Thursday from 6 to 9, so that'll be a lot of fun. And
yeah,
Friday,
I'm going to share with you
for the weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, again, Joanne, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Lori Glover from Silverado Beach Cities, Chanel Garcia from First Light Home Care of South Bay. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. A lot of great information here. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Thank you for joining us this morning. And be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for South Bay Spotlight. We're going to have special guest co-host Michael Jenkins from SouthBayFoodies.com. He's going to be sitting in with me tomorrow. And we're going to our guest is going to be Demi Stevens from Ortega 120 and Hay 19 Public House. And we're going to be talking about the South Bay food scene, what's going on, the new trends, new places. So everybody, please be sure to tune in tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye now.
Jackie, thank you for all you do for our community.